This is the moment where we have a brief moment of silence for our interpreters tonight, who did not have that poem ahead of time, and who are doing a wonderful, wonderful thing by being here. Aren't they? We should clap for them. Can we do that? You're one, and you're two. I was at a reading some years ago where Mark Strand was reading, and Mark Strand's a very narrative poet, and he had given the ASL interpreters his poems before, and so they stood up in their turn, and they interpreted, and it was fine, and then a very different poet, Ray Armantrout. Do you know Ray Armantrout? I know Ray Armantrout, but I don't know her poems because they don't want to be known. And she stood up and began reading one poem after another without any commentary in the middle. And I watched, I actually read ASL, or I can interpret it, and I watched the ASL interpreter, and she became more and more excited and frantic in attempts. And finally, she started making things up. She started making things up, and things went on, and finally, she just gave up, and she went like this. And she stood there and faced the audience for the rest of Ray Armantrout's reading, and Ray Armantrout was never the wiser. And I often think that maybe that was one of Ray Armantrout's best readings, and she didn't even know it. It's such a pity to miss that. This poem is called "The Black Pickup Truck of Death is Driving Away." And I wrote it, and I showed it to a friend of mine, another friend, and she read it, and she looked back at me and said, must the pickup truck of death be black? And I said, yes, it must. You'll see why. This is one of those moments. Sometimes life just gives you something, and all you have to do is write it down, and it's a poem. And these are fantastic moments. They're gift moments. I tell my students, you don't have to make, if you're afraid of making things up, my students are so desperately scared of the imagination. I mean, they might actually do something that would make them different from other people, and that would be a great tragedy, they think, for them. So I tell them, you just have to listen. Just listen. They say, you mean like eavesdrop? I said, yes, that's what I mean. I was walking behind students changing classes. Those of you who are students, are you on your cell phones between classes? You are, aren't you? You are. I was walking behind one the other day, and I heard her say into the cell phone, what mayor? And there was a pause. She was listening. And then she said, oh, you mean that mayor, the other mayor. And I was like, it was the same thing with the Sherpas of Canada. I thought, the other mayor, I have to write this poem. You don't have to make anything up if you are paying attention. This is called "The Black Pickup Truck of Death is Driving Away." And for those of you who are frightened by the last two poems, we're going to go back to poems that tell stories now. So it'll all be fine. It'll all be fine. In this dream, only it's not a dream. You are about to give a lecture in a storefront in Grosse Pointe Park, Michigan. The lecture's about metaphors, say, and you can't seem to get the audience quiet or seated, and then there's this honking from the street outside, and you turn. Everybody turns, and it's a parade of little leaguers in pickup trucks. The streets of Grosse Pointe Park, Michigan, are almost deserted at this hour, swept clean by an early morning thunderstorm. The trucks are just trucks, the sides plastered with hand-drawn placards, the Nationals, the Mariners, the Lansing Lugnuts, and the beds full of young boys in uniform who scowl and shout and hurl candy, something they've apparently been told to do, to the crowds, only there really aren't any crowds, only us and a few people who are out walking their dogs. And anyway, the boys aren't throwing the candy into the imaginary crowds. They are throwing the candy at the imaginary crowds, so that it hits the pavement and the plate glass of the shops and what bystanders there are, like stones or hail. One woman covers her face to protect herself from the barrage. Another picks up the candy and starts hurling it back at the boys. And then suddenly, in the midst of everything, there's a truck with no boys in it. No placards, and it's a black truck. And you can't see the driver because of the dark tint of the windows, and you think, this is the black pickup truck of death. And somehow, you're pretty glad to see it. You think, this is my team. You even laugh a little. But then the parade turns east, and the black pickup guns its engine straight forward. It was never actually part of the parade. Its owner lives in the neighborhood and was making a Saturday morning run for milk or lumber or cigarettes. He just got caught up in the festivities. He was probably impatient to get somewhere else, away from the McMansions of the 1920s, the broad pavements, memories of the auto industry and the fires, away from the screaming boys and their candy. And from the plate glass behind which you are still standing in this dream. Only it's not a dream. With the audience settling down now and wanting to hear, more or less, what you have to say about metaphor, which is that it is not a game, which is that it is an alchemy of expression of what it means to be human. A bridge between the things that are human and the things that are not. Between the living and the dead. And that out there, beyond Grosse Pointe Park, beyond Detroit even, we are fighting a war again. And that out there, further out, beyond the war, history continues to circle. And that we are given a small amount of time and materials, and we do the best we can with them. And sometimes one thing is like another thing, and sometimes it isn't. And that once the trucks and boys have passed, somebody has to remain behind to pick up all the candy from the sidewalks. And that some of us wake with bruises and have no idea how we got them. And some of us wake with bruises and know all too well how we got them. And that somewhere, out on the edges of the dreams that turn out not to have been dreams at all, the black pickup turns its headlights on and keeps driving through the nearly deserted city in search of something. Good Mexican food, maybe. And it is not about you. Or the boys. Or the war, except that when, that same evening, you finally do lie down to sleep, it's the screams of the boys you keep hearing inside your head, and the thud of the candy, like the report of a gun. And this is not a metaphor. None of it. Not a dream. But you wish it were. And out of this wish, you write a poem. And out of your fierce rejection of this wish, you write a poem. And sometimes it's the same poem around which history circles, trying, like us, to forget parts of the story. The plagues and the defeats, the blood sacrifices, like us, dreaming of a sweetness come down from the sky or some god. Or a heaven. I think that's enough. Thank you.